that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel,
it's gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow,
good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It is Saturday morning, September 16th, 2023, right here in the middle of September. And we thank you for joining us, and we've got a couple men on. Paul, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Josh, way down south, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
And Remnant, all over, from California to Florida and Maine to New Mexico. Good morning to you as well. We thank you for joining us. We'll have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913. And Josh, would you open us up in prayer this morning?
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for getting us up once again, Lord, and giving us the opportunity to be here and to serve you, Lord. We pray that you forgive us our sins, that you cleanse us, purify us, perfect us, Lord. Make us whole, Lord. Pray that you apply that blood to each and every aspect of our lives. We'll claim all the benefits of that precious blood that was spilled, Lord, to cleanse us and to cover us. Lord, we do pray that you grant us and our families that full armor of Ephesians 6, Lord. As you watch over us, protect us, and keep us safe, Lord, and help us to be a light into a dark world, Lord. Pray that you help us to stand firm and do whatever it is, Lord, that you've got it, that you've got set for each and every one of us to do today. Pray, we do lift up this broadcast, Lord. Pray that the word that we speak, Lord, be a benefit to your remnant. Pray that you grant us a good day. All these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Well, again, Remnant, we have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913. And,
yeah, it's funny, or I don't say funny, but we talk about having a good day or having a bad day. But they're all good. It's just that we don't always have the perspective to be able to see at the moment that they're good.
That's right.
It's the truth.
That's right. I had a person stop by the ranch yesterday, and they had done some hay work for us, and we were paying them, and I asked them how things were going, and, oh, terrible, terrible, terrible. And I said, oh, no. I said, who is in jail or who is in the hospital? Oh, no, 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 it's not that. And we talked a little bit about this and that, and that very thing, Josh, came up and finally got to close out with, you know, well, it's not so bad. It could be worse. When we're working, we're able to work, we're able to get around, we're blessed. We haven't gone hungry. It's just a matter of perspective. It really is. And just like our pastor.
And, you know, also too, it.
Go ahead.
No, like you know, where you say, where he said he never had a bad thing happen to him, but where you were saying as far as with it's a good day, it's not a bad day, but it could be better, and if we are working, like what you're talking about, if we're able to work and if we're working to make it better, then it can be better. And it's our job, it's our responsibility to be working, whether it be doing coffee time in the morning or baling hay or whatever, but working to make it better. That's our job. That's why we're here.
Amen. You know, internationally, a couple things that I had not seen before just this week, but I guess back on September 8th, huge earthquake in Morocco. Over 3,000 dead, 5,000 injured, many people missing. They sure don't have the type of search and rescue and things that we have here. And so what a mess going on there. And then in Libya, had floods this past week, had a big type like a hurricane blew in. And I think it was Daniel, maybe, whatever they call it over there. And Mediterranean Storm Daniel, and just flooded. They're saying 11,000 dead, maybe another 10,000 missing, complete towns just gone. And I understand that in Morocco as well as in Libya, most of those are Muslims. I understand that, but. I think that the verse that came to mind when I saw this was that all creation groans for the revealing of the sons of God. All creation. And like you said, Josh, that, you know, we should be working to make things better. One of the big things in Libya, they said, was, well, they, you know, didn't have the... A lot of the deaths were avoidable, didn't have an early warning system, didn't have plans and this type of stuff. And those are the types of things that our people do. Just in a purely secular viewpoint, those are what our people do. They make plans for disasters, and they have developed early warning systems, and, you know, that's why they... They say, in Florida, the hurricane season ain't bad until old Weather Channel Jim Katori or whatever shows up. And then it gets serious. But that's what our people do. They work, whether they know it or not, to make things better. Should be doing that. A lot of us, a lot of our people just do it instinctively. They don't know why. And it's because that law is written on their heart to do, and again, I'm talking just in the secular, to make things better so that there can be early warning to natural disasters and when possible, whether it's tornadoes or hurricanes or big storms, and then plans for life safety. But guess what? We haven't been over in Libya in quite a bit. And anyway, just a thought occurs to me. There definitely, you know, more that our people need to be doing, but you can't do that in the secular if the spiritual is all screwed up. And that's how it is. The people today, they don't acknowledge God in these things, and in our daily lives, so many people don't. And we can't be the blessing to the world that we are supposed to be if we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing as His people.
Yeah, and that's
true. Spiritually, America's bankrupt, you know. There's a remnant out here and stuff like that, but nationally we are bankrupt. You know, the Constitution signers and stuff like that said it would only work for a godly nation, and the Constitution isn't working because the people aren't godly. And so we're supposed to be the light on the hill, and our light is really dim, if at all. And, you know, missionaries, they go, what are they going to convert them to, Americanism? Well, that's the serious problem.
Right.
You know, we're supposed to be that light on the hill. America isn't that light on the hill. And I would say us three are struggling out of that system. We came out of it. And I think all God's prophets have to see it from the other side before they can recognize the good side, I think. That's just an opinion.
Yeah, and you know, it's got to be a joke that, I mean, here we don't even know if we're male or female anymore. You know, who would want to be that way? Who with any amount of good sense, I'd say, would want to be confused whether they're a boy or a girl.
That's right, and that is one of the reasons that in the third world countries of Africa and some places in the Middle East that are still like that, that's one reason that China and Russia are gaining so much ground. Is because when the American aid comes in, guess what they want to do? We want to make sure that you have gender studies in your elementary schools, and make sure that you're recognizing these filthy faggots, and you know, and not allowing any harm to come to them when some of those nations are still putting queers to death. And then America, you know, wonders, many Americans wonders why China and Russia are growing in those areas, because they just come in and they don't care what you do. They just, you know, they're building roads and power plants. And of course they're taking natural resources. Russia and China are, but they don't, you know, they're not pushing this LGBTQBRDBC whatever agenda, And we're suffering for it not only here at home but abroad as well. Yeah, who wants to be like that when that's what the government's pushing? And not many people do.
Well, I think America's finally pushing back on that. You know, look at the things, Budweiser and all the stuff that they've just went over the line, just too far. And that's what you have to have to get. It's like the prodigal son. You got to go so far down, then you're going to come back up.
Right.
And the law is written in our heart. So we're coming back. I seen a big billboard yesterday. I can't remember exactly what it was. Yes, all instead of Joshua 1. I can't remember the verse. But it's all about be strong and be courageous. And that's all it was. Joshua, that's all it was on that billboard. So we don't know how many are out there. And which is good, I guess.
That's right. Somebody's paying a few hundred dollars for that billboard.
We don't know how many are out there, but we do know that whenever some red-headed bearded guy gets up on there and starts singing about miners on an island and what have you, that it can go to the most popular song in the country overnight, you know, and I agree with you. I do believe people are at least seeing something, and that there's something wrong. I, until I guess last week, had never even heard the song, Richmond, North of Richmond, with Oliver Anthony, music guy. And, but I listened to it last week and then, watched one of the podcasts that he did. And, so I would say that, you know, if you're a good Baptist, you probably don't want to watch that podcast because he does use some, there or they use some bad language and, you know, smoke a cigar and whatever. And they're not, don't have on pastel shirts and penny loafers, but he also doesn't pull any punches on, you know, talking about his, what being a Christian is to him. And, you know, he's sitting there reading scripture on a podcast that has millions of viewers and, like, really talking about God and being a sinner and turning your life around. And, I mean, he didn't try to get anybody to accept Jesus so that everything will be better. But, you know, just seems like a good guy that's working hard to try to do better and looking to God for the answers. And, it's hard. I can't imagine how hard it'd be to be in his situation. So he might cave and sell out for tens or hundreds of millions of dollars. I don't know. And I'm not putting faith in him, but I am thankful for what I see. And, you know, he's writing or has been writing these songs about the establishment and, you know, turning away from it and all that they're doing and them thinking that we're stupid and don't see it. And, boy, folks connect with it, a lot, you know. And so we need to be, in my opinion, need to be praying for him. And, cause he is in front of a lot of people. And pray that, you know, whatever scripture he reads lands on ears that are ready to hear it. And if folks will go look at the Bible because of it, I'm pretty sure, I'm not 100%, I'm pretty sure I remember him saying that, you know, he doesn't go to church. He don't know if he'll ever go to church again. He had some bad experiences, you know, but that's not what he's counting on to make him a Christian.
That's right.
He's speaking from the heart. He's speaking from the heart. You know, he's been there. He's kind of, what I understand, he's kind of pulling himself up by bootstraps and getting going. I understand they had a concert last weekend, and they were charging $100 a piece for a ticket, and he walked off, and he made them mad. And he said, anybody that paid $100, I'll refund it personally. And they're really upset, but they're trying to make money off of this guy.
That's right.
You know, they offered an $8 million contract, and he turned it down. I mean, that tells you where his heart is. He ain't in for money. He understands. He's been down on the ground, I guess. And, you know, why do we do it? We getting a paycheck, Richard? No, we do it because we can love about our fellow man. I remember when I met Pastor Peters, you know, I mean, I learned who I was. And I said, well, what about the other people? You know, he said, that proves you're an Israelite right there. That's what he said to me. So,
that's right.
Yeah, we care about other people. That's why we send missionaries. We send aid everywhere when we can. So, you know, it's interesting days. It's been cleansed. And I think that Redhead is doing a great job. So,
that's right.
Well, yeah, no, that's pretty good. He wanted $25 tickets. He wasn't going to have expensive tickets taking advantage of folks. And because, you know, his opinion, you didn't have to have that. And he wanted people to be able to come here. So, like you said, he canceled the show.
Yep. Yeah, see, that's something new. You don't hear that, right? You don't hear that. No, you hear what you hear from the establishment is the Taylor Swift tickets have overburdened the Ticketmaster server when people are trying to get $3,000 tickets and blob, and it's like, what, really? And that's the establishment. And so, yeah, you see something like this come up It is encouraging, and it's catching people's attention. It's catching their eye, and so, like you said, Josh, I sure hope that you know, seeds are being planted That is, he's not preaching, but he's just reading the word. He's just turning that word loose. Just turn it loose. And, you know, the scripture says, how are they going to believe if they don't hear? Well, some people are hearing that probably weren't planning on hearing scripture. And then hearing this guy say that he's
certainly accurate.
Right, certainly, that he's not going to church, and he's had a bad experience at church. How many people have? You know, the headlines all the time, youth pastor arrested again, and on and on and on, because they're just whitewashed sepulchers filled with dead men's bones, for the most part. And, yeah, the time of just... just tiptoeing around and playing church, for the real Christian, that time is not the time we are in. It's not. That's what's been going on the last 100 years, and it has devastated this country. The word of God being modified and not preached from the pulpits, and it's time to be back to that word of God. And anyway, yeah. Didn't know if you saw what's going on down in New Mexico, but they've had a little uproar. The mayor, Michelle Lujan Grisham, I saw the little news report or whatever you call it, announcement that she made. Suspended the Second Amendment for 30 days. Said, nope, I don't want anybody open carrying or concealed carrying in Albuquerque for 30 days. We have to stop this violence. And... she went on a very impassioned plea, almost crying, about the victims of gun violence and this and that. And one of the reporters in the crowd asked her, he said, okay, ma'am, I understand that. He said, do you think the criminals are going to obey this 30-day moratorium that you don't want anybody open carrying or concealed carrying? You think the criminals are going to obey this? And she said, no. And so they are just that brazen anymore. No, this is for law-abiding people, she might as well have said. This is a 30-day push to take away your right to defend yourself. And so...
Well, that's what it would have been good if one of those reporters would have asked her, well, are you going to disarm your security guard, and let them walk around with smiley faces,
right,
instead of...
And you know they're not.
Arms.
Yeah, and you know she's not. And so even her attorney general, who was a Democrat, and judges in her state have said, and the sheriff of that county have said, nope, ma'am, you're on your own. We are here to uphold the Constitution, and you have overstepped the Constitution. So it's a good thing, because more people, and that was one of the stories, was more people were calling her out from her own Democratic Party, from her own state, saying, nope, can't do that. The sheriff, I saw the sheriff give a report right after it, and he said, we're not going to enforce that. And there were hundreds, if not thousands, of people that showed up open carrying in defiance of this. And so now, on the 15th, just yesterday, she has amended her order so that it applies only to city parks and playgrounds. So she's backpedaling because people stood up and said no. And
but she is the enemy, and that it
right.
is her job to try.
That's right.
And it's our job to say no.
That's right. Absolutely. And it's not getting a lot of, I looked through the mainstream news media, didn't see it. I had to get over to to Breitbart, whoever that is, and look at it. And it's just, but yeah, the county district attorney, the sheriff, the police chief, the attorney general of New Mexico, all came against her and said, we're not doing this. But you're right. It's a probe. It's like a probe by the enemy. Hey, can we get in here? Nope. That's too well defended. We're going to have to try somewhere else, is the response that they had. Because people said no. And you know, Pastor talked about how little that really takes. How it's really not that hard to do that. But you have to be vigilant. You have to be aware of what's going on and pay attention to those things. To be able to come against
it. It's a lot easier to stop something than it is to, if you give it up, go back and get it. You know, and that's what they tried to see if they could make that happen if nobody would say anything. And then if no one would have said anything, then they would have locked it in, and that'd be a regular practice. And then once everyone accepted it, then, you know, it'd be harder versus everybody just saying, no, we're not going to do that now, and then not having to fight to get it back.
Right.
Well, you know, what we're reading to talk about here is the gospel. It's the good news, and they never do make it. You can't blame them for trying, but they're never going to make it. And when God's people wake up, when the Saxon begins to hate, crap hits the fan, and I think it's in progress.
I agree.
But just like anything else, you know, most of the time, whatever you're looking for, you're going to see, because that's where you're putting your effort of what are you trying to see. If you've been talking about getting a Jeep, you know, all of a sudden you start seeing Jeeps everywhere because of what you're looking for, and you're giving your attention to that. You know, if we're looking for God working in our lives and looking for things to change and get better, you start seeing that. And it is encouraging to see it. We shouldn't have to see it with our eyes to be able to know it, but it makes it a lot easier whenever you see it. And once again, we need to be doing things to help to make that, doing our part. You talked about earlier doing things in the secular area, doing things in the world with your hands physically, the alert systems and this and that. Now, when you were talking about that, I thought about the fact that God delivered Noah from the flood, but he had to build a boat.
That's right.
You know, he had to do his part. God showed him, told him what to do, and he followed what God told him to do, and he was saved for it. And so normally it does take some work on our part to make things better. Not always. Sometimes there ain't nothing that you need to do any more than be praying. But when God gives us a job, it's our duty to make it happen.
He wants to fight our battles. He just needs our obedience. He said he would fight our battles, you know, but he's not going to fight you if you got one hand in the world and one hand in his word. You know, that double-mindedness, he despises that. And that's the whole thing, you know, the government is so far out of control. You see, go back to Samuel when they wanted a king. See, they wanted to get rid of their personal responsibility, what it amounted to. And we have to take our responsibility for our actions and everything we do. We don't need to have a corporation that's immune from your personal goods. You know, that whole thing is, it's all wrong. You know, everything we got, the corporations, they isolate themselves, you know. And this is what's coming apart with the Bidens, too. They're getting caught for what they are now. He's got a gun thing. But what happened to the billions of dollars he's been stealing the whole time? And they're all in on it. But from what I understand, and recently what I see, that whole Ukraine thing is a money laundering thing. They want to send money over that, and then these people get it back.
that's what I think is really going on there. They want to send them billions and billions of dollars over there so they can get their share of it. It's something's up. But it's falling apart. I see where they're attacking that Granholm for. She used to be our governor, Secretary of Energy, whatever it is. But she's corrupt, too. She still has stock in these companies and yet just getting millions of dollars. And it's all about money. That's why the real redhead, you know, he ain't about money. And people are flocking to it. Do it because it's right. No other reason.
And he's fair. He's on the Democrats and the Republicans, you know, because he knows, and we should all know that none of them are for us on either side. You know, they're all in on the scam, and they're getting filthy rich off of it.
I know a guy here who went to Lansing for a government of some sort, legislator, whatever he went, and he had a sign on his corn crib, "I serve a Jewish carpenter," you know. But, you know, but when he went there, he wasn't there long. He never spoke in absolute sentences anymore. You know, everything was compromised. You could just see it in his personality. Because you go down there, you probably get kicked out, you know. I had a guy I've known for years ask me why I didn't go to church. I said, well, I'll tell you what, if I go there, something's going to give, and it ain't me, so it's probably just better if I stay away.
Yeah. When you look at it, I mean, the fact that whenever Trump got in on all the child trafficking and all that stuff, hot and heavy, they took away his voice, every social media platform, every network, every
right.
Everything. You know, the president of the United States could not get a message out. That's some power right there. You know, on this side of the fence, on the earthly part.
And that's excuse me. And that's being exposed. Finally, it takes a little time. You know, the old saying about the conspiracy theories that, how long are they running right now? About 6 months, 6 months to a year, and they're just being proven fact. It is. Whether it's a movie that comes out that proves it, or, juries or whatever it is, you know, they made the big deal about, was it there in Michigan, Paul, the conspiracy to kidnap the governor? There was a big conspiracy, and they arrested a bunch of people. They just finished the trial, found all the three men they charged not guilty. But how's it been for the last two or three years? Oh, it's been, you know, they've used that to further their agenda. They basically are guilty until proven innocent, which is just the opposite of how it should be, but like you said, Paul, because we're not a moral and Christian people anymore, the Constitution, those laws don't apply, and so we see that. Need some new conspiracy theories, because all the old ones, all the ones that we've had, whether it's the Federal Reserve or the government or, like you said, Josh, the powers, you know, behind or that are greater than the office of the president and stuff like that. All those have come true. We need some new ones. People ask me about Hawaii. Hey, what do you think's going on there and this and that? And it's like, well, just give it a little time and see what happens. There's so much that has been reported. There's so much that is going on. I saw one news report that, backstory. It said back in the 60s, I think in 1960, there was a huge hurricane that did very similar to what this fire has done in Hawaii. Knocked out part of the island where the indigenous people had lived and had been there forever, and just wiped it out. And it was deemed uninhabitable by the government. Now, today, that's where all the hotels are. That's where all the tourism is, because it's been rebuilt. They brought in rock and sand and everything else and built up hotels and make millions and millions and billions off of it. That catastrophe didn't they didn't let that go to waste. And so, you know, we just give it a little time. Give it a little time and see. Our enemy thinks and works generationally, and so we'll see. We'll see what comes of this mess in Hawaii and see. And yeah, Josh, you're talking about ex-President Trump. The enemy is scared to death of him. You know, I mean, it's like, what else can we throw at this guy? What else can we do? You know, they come out and say that, oh, Trump needs to die in prison to protect democracy. Now, if that's not a death threat, I don't know what is. But our enemy, they just, you know, it's like the governor throwing out that suspending the Second Amendment. They throw it out there and see if it'll stick, see if it'll catch something. When it's an absolute death threat.
I saw a little one frame, like a newspaper comic the other day, where it was like a library scene, and they were taking the books out of the conspiracy theory section and putting them into the current events section. You know, right. They were just rotate, and then. And you're exactly right. It'll come out, and they love for it to come out. That's just the way that they work.
That's right.
But got to be looking and watching and doing our part.
That's right. Saw this headline too, and I talked about it just a bit on Thursday night. But Florida Department of Health, okay. You know, not Joe the plumber, but the Florida Department of Health advises against the latest coronavirus booster. Says the Florida Department of Health is advising against the latest coronavirus booster shot for individuals younger than 65, issuing several warnings, highlighting the potential adverse effects, including cardiovascular conditions such as myocarditis. And that's what a lot of the otherwise healthy people have been just falling over dead, suddenly dying about that, is because of these cardiovascular unexplained issues. But here's the Florida Department of Health advising. We would suggest you don't get that coronavirus booster. So, you know, there again, how many times have we been called conspiracy kooks for warning against that and saying, you know, trust in God. And they even say in here, let me turn back to it. I put it away. The Surgeon General, Joseph Ladapo, I guess the Florida Surgeon General, urges Floridians to stay healthy by staying physically active, eating more vegetables and healthy fats, minimizing processed food, and spending time outside. And so basically he's, you know, flipping the bird to the pharmacia, pushing these vaccines and boosters, and saying, hey, there's other things you can do. Well, just a couple of years ago, that'd get you landed in jail. That'd get your Google account, your Twitter account, and everything taken away if you dared offer alternative methods to stay healthy instead of taking their shot. And we've talked about that over the last couple of years.
That so much of that is a fear thing, you know, people being afraid. And if, you know, I can't imagine if I were not grounded in Christ and the gospel, how afraid I would be right now. Because people are getting hammered from every direction, you know, this and that and the other.
That's right.
Fearful people are normally paralyzed and they don't do anything. you know, they are, if they do, they run to go get their next shot or what have you. You know, and it's just, it's something how you can see how people really, they care more about animals now. A lot of people care more about animals than they do other people. And, you know, can you imagine if you went and had your dog vaccinated twice a year for the past 3 years against rabies and then still got rabies? I mean, people wouldn't stand for that. They would be up in arms. And, you know, but since it's people in a corona vaccination, well, it just keeps on going.
Right.
So yeah. I seen a guy, when this first started happening, he went down to Arizona and amongst the Indians, and they were just absolutely paranoid of that COVID. But those people aren't grounded at all. You know, when it came out, I forgot the day. I'm the guy is appointed now because I don't take a shot. If I'm stubborn, that's one thing, but my day's appointed. So what do I fear? Nothing. You know, what if they have no grip over me? And when you shed that news media and whatever they're hammering, and it's always fear, and just, you know, just like that guy you were talking about that got acquitted. Look at the grief they put in them people's lives for all these years, you know, and now they're acquitted. Look at the damage they did to their personal lives.
That's right.
And it's so simple. You can't. There's no crime committed until it's committed. Until then, you know. You know, when I was younger, quite a few days, a lot of people were dead when I was ticked off, you know. But, you know, had I acted upon it, but I'm just telling you, until you get that under control, and then thought crimes aren't really punishable. You got to commit a crime, and then it's law. So I was kind of rooting for him, actually.
But if you choose to live in that prison of fear, you're no less in prison. Doing whatever they tell you to do whenever they tell you to do it.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right. Whom you fear is whom you'll serve.
Yep. I remember Pastor teaching on that. It's when you're in their jurisdiction, they can. You are fearful. But when you die to that, when that old creature dies and you are born again and you are transformed from a creature of darkness to a creature of light, you're transformed from the darkness to the light, I guess is the more proper way to say it. Well, then they have no hold. And it takes more than just believing that God is God, that Jesus is who he is. Because the demons believe. It says that in James. And they shudder. And that's all that's pushed by this Judeo-Christian false church. Just believe. You know, the scripture says he who believes will be saved, but that's not all the scripture says. The scripture says 365 times, do not fear. Do not be afraid. That's one for every day of the year. If the people will read it, if the people will believe it, if the people will, Josh, like you started off this morning, act on it and do. And you know, that's the freedom that we're given in Christ, to do what we should do. And the ability to do it without fear. And have that hope that this hopeless world doesn't have.
Here's what Joshua 1:9 says. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong, be of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. Now that's the end of the matter right there. And that, then we have to obey that. That's the key to it, because he said it, but I, you know, then living it, that's where it comes into action. So we're not to fear what they're up to. I mean, they're falling apart by, as we speak. You know, that governor couldn't get across the street with that one, and you know, they're just turning on each other, which is wonderful, and we have to be of good cheer. So
Where are you going to find a preacher to translate that for you, Paul, so you can understand it? That scripture.
You think it needs translating?
Well, I mean, it's pretty complicated.
That's right.
The word is so powerful when you put it out there. Now, you saw that billboard. You noticed that billboard. And it don't take somebody flying around in a jet to explain what that scripture means to you, you know, off the congregation's money. And the word, that's what we need.
Yep, be strong. I mean, you know, I think some days I need a little encouragement on that. So, we're never immune to it. Look what they're doing. Look what they're doing. Well, I see what we're doing in New Mexico and all these things. They're coming down, you know. That's better yet.
That's right. That is better yet.
Look what happened to Bud Light. I mean, this is going all over the country. People don't like queers overall.
Right, because like Roman says, instinctively, they have the law. They don't know it. He was talking about the Gentiles then, but it's us today, our people. They don't know why, but they know. That's why the enemy pushes so hard. Is because it takes so much to convince, to convert, to change. And that fear factor is in there. It is.
Well, just like there's a law of gravity, and we know that that's what keeps us grounded on the ground, you know that if everybody turned homosexual, that the human race would cease to exist because it just doesn't work that way.
That's right. That's right.
It doesn't
work in nature. It doesn't. It's an aberration, or whatever. My mind's not working this morning. It's just wrong. It's not natural. And the Bible talks about that, you know, people gave up the natural urging for that which is unnatural. And if you don't want to have a love for the truth, God himself will send a deluding spirit. And so if you want to believe that those things are normal and okay and acceptable, you know, God'll let you believe that. You know, we have that free will until somebody comes along. You know, Paul, I think about that. You've kind of given that testimony. You mentioned that about the woman saying something about the queers, and she said, "Well, I have two of those," and you know, you didn't offer to pray with her and just that's okay and this and that. It's like that's wrong. You know, you shouldn't have anything to do with them. You know, that's what the law does. The law defines sin, and some people, it might be written on their heart, but it's been whitewashed over so much that they need somebody like you did, Paul. Hey, that's wrong. That's wrong. It's not a gay lifestyle. It's a sad death style. And it's against the very laws of nature. And some people become your enemy because you tell them the truth. But like you've said, Paul, it seems like that woman kind of, you know, was appreciative of hearing the truth.
Took her a couple of weeks to figure it out, but I think she got it now. She's quite pleasant to me.
Sure.
Well, there's a description that's coming behind that death style.
And you know, that the fewer words you use, the better. You know, people like to go on and preach and stuff like that. The thing of it is, those people aren't even on our channel. And you've got to remember that.
Right.
The less words you use, you know, and the questions work better than preaching most of the time. So, see, everybody's born with this void in their heart. And they have to get back to God. And the only way is
humility. Baptism for the remission of sin. And with that, now I just told the whole world I'm a sinner. And that's what it is. That's what it's all about. It's humility. And in my opinion, it's God's way or trouble.
That's right.
And that's not to say that when you're doing it God's way that you won't have trouble, but He will bring you through it. He'll put you right where you need to be. And, because it ain't always easy. You know, normally when you're fighting, there's a fight and there's resistance. But who would not want to be on the winning team? I mean, we know how it ends.
And that's what gives us the motivation to go on, because, you know, I think we probably all lost some people because of what we believed. I don't think it's as bad as it was. I actually think you can talk to more people now than you ever could.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, like you said, Josh, people want to be on the winning team. You know, you hear that. I've seen that more and more often, you know, that, hey, at least you see the little memes or the quotes that say, I'm glad I'm on the team that has all the guns and ammo and knows how to use them and knows which bathroom to use. And see, that even that in itself is just a push against the filth that's being pushed by the enemy. It's a pushback. It is, and it's a...
Because it's making people think.
That's right, making people think. And so, you know, like that can be, you know, that can be an opening as well. I've seen people, you know, use that, and it is. It's a... we talk about it sometimes as common sense. It's just not too common anymore.
I mean, even down to the little stuff, is just like the clothes that you wear. A lot of times I'll wear T-shirts with different sayings and stuff on them, and that'll spark up a conversation with people. You know, it gives you an opportunity to discuss stuff, to hear and learn, and then also to bring up the other folks and, you know, possibly be able to share. But just the way we act and the way we talk and the way we present ourselves and not coming across as fearful is a different thing,
sure.
You know, right now in society. And it's important that we do that, because if you're on the winning team and you want everybody to know you're on the winning team and you want them on your team, you don't need to be, as Pastor Peter says, long faced, you get eat oatmeal out of a boot, walking around, woe is me. You know, that don't look like the team to be on.
That's right. You know, I the thought occurred to me when you said that all you have, you know, the how you come across, but not being fearful. The old black and white movie that, you know, the song Give Me Some Men, that Colonel Moore preached on, and we found the old black and white blurb and bit from the movie and played it. And the men were fearful, except for the one guy. And he says, you know, who's with me? Who's with me? We can defeat these guys. And they're like, hey, the Marines got the ship and they've got a cannon and all this. And he's like, hey, we can take them. Joe, you can sail. And Bill, you're a warrior. And this. And he's like, you know, it was the one man that wasn't fearful. The one man. And then what did he do? Here comes one more with him. And then one more. And then one more. And you know, then the old song, you know, give me some men that are stout-hearted men. Give me 10 men, I'll give you 10,000 more. And it is that way. And so I think that's a good close, Josh. That, yeah, just don't be fearful. Just obedience to the word. Don't be fearful. And you know what that projects. The seeds that plants are good seeds. They really are. Well, guys, we are out of time. Thank you. Thank you both so much for taking time out of your busy weekend to join us and to encourage the remnant. And hope you guys have a blessed weekend.
You too, sir.
And remnant, we thank you. thanks for joining us. And I want to invite you to join us at church tomorrow. You can do that at scripturesforamerica.org. We plan on, good Lord willing, firing up at 8:30 Mountain, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, with a review of the news, a timeless pulpit truth, and then a live message as well, or at least a new message. I think Brother Zach's going to have one for us. So we hope you'll join us there at scripturesforamerica.org. God bless.
Rolling, 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 rolling,
rolling,
rolling,
rolling, rolling, rolling, rolling, though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever. Knowing the king is by.